All right, I call this House Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 9:06 a.m. on Tuesday, May 10th. Members present are Representative Shragi, Snyder, Co-Chair Fields, and myself. Co-Chair Spahn has let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Thanks so much to our Secretary, Leah Fraser, who's joining us remotely, and our LIO moderator, Jake Wade. Welcome, Jake. Reminder to members to please announce yourself before speaking for those listening online, and if you haven't already, it's a great time to silence your cell phones. Today we have three items on our agenda: committee action on House Bill 301, Utilities Renewable Portfolio Standard, consideration of amendments to House Bill 405, Establishment of Trust, consideration of amendments to House Bill 406, Moratorium on Trust and Property Acquisition. And I just want to clarify for those that are following, we're going to consider amendments to 405 and 406 and hold those bills. And the committee will not be moving those bills out of moving those bills out today. All right. We moved on Friday to House Bill 301, seven amendments. And so did a lot of really great committee work on the bill. Is there any questions from committee members before we take final action? All right, is there a motion?
I move House Bill 301 version 32-GH2546-W from committee as amended with a dash fiscal notes.
All right, is there any objection? All right, seeing none, House Bill 301 moves from committee without objection. All right, next up we're going to go to House Bill 405, Establishment of Trust. In addition to staff Evan Anderson, who is here in the room, we also have available for questions. I don't see everybody online that we'd expected to be available for questions. They're on Teams. Great. Sorry. Three different places you have to look these days. All right. Good morning. All right, we've got Rob Schmidt, Director of Banking and Securities, Tracy Reno, Chief of Examinations Division of Banking and Securities, Don Hanisch, Operations Manager, Division of Banking and Securities. And we also have Christy Thurman, the State Reporter with the Department of Natural Resources, and David Braun, who is a Financial Examiner with the Division of Banking and Securities. We have a lot of banking and securities folks here today. Which is great. In fact, we're hoping to work with them on House Bill 408 here in the coming days. We're just waiting for a committee substitute to come through as well. All right. So with that, are there any questions before we move into amendments? All right. Seeing none. Representative Fields, would you like to move the first amendment?
Sure. And just before moving this amendment, just to provide a little more context, we listened to the input from a bunch of stakeholders, and I appreciate the committee taking up these amendments and trying to get a template that future legislatures can work with. Obviously, it's too late in the session to move forward, but I actually hope that some of the stakeholders weigh back in after these amendments to let us know the extent to which they resolve suggestions and concerns. So with that, I'm going to move amendment number one.
All right, and I'll object for the purposes of explanation.
Thanks, and I'm going to turn to my staff, Evan Anderson, for an explanation of amendment number one.
To the chair, for the record, this is Evan Anderson, staff to Rep. Fields. Amendment number one was created after conversations with representation from a number of Alaska Native corporations, regional corporations. There is a tool that was created through ANCSA in 1971, Alaska Native Corporation Settlement Trusts. They largely have not been utilized until 2017 with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And so we're really just in the first 4 or 5 years of implementation of Alaska Native Corporate Settlement Trust. And so after some initial conversations, it seemed really clear that the reporting requirements were hoping to see for all trust through this legislation should not count for these settlement trusts. And so we wrote a broad exemption through Amendment B1 for those settlement trusts.
All right. Are there any questions on Amendment number one?
I'd just like to comment to the extent that ANC's or the representatives are watching. my understanding is that this amendment entirely resolves any concern ANCs have with this legislation. If there needs to be further refinement, please let me know.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the co-chair's intent in working on this legislation and also the collaborative process as we work to try to sort of fine tune the legislation to make sure that we're not creating unintentional harm. And we'll, you know, as we work through these amendments, we're hoping to sort of make improvements to the bill and then work with stakeholders over the interim on further refinements that might strengthen and still ensure that Alaskans are not harmed unintentionally by the legislation. And with that, I'm going to remove my objection to amendment number one. Is there any other objection to amendment number one being adopted? All right, seeing no objection, amendment number one is adopted.
I'll move amendment number two.
And I'll object for the purposes of explanation.
And I'll turn to my staff, Evan Anderson.
For the record, Evan Anderson, staff to Rep. Fields. Through the chair, amendment two came after some feedback from representatives with the trust industry. We had put in a pretty strong reporting requirement for any time there's changes made to the trust. That means a new beneficiary, a new settler. This is the testimony that we heard in committee that, you know, every time a new grandchild is born, a trust might be subject to fines. This amendment number two was built in direct response to that feedback. And instead sets that disclosure requirement up on an annual requirement. So each year that there are any changes made by January 30th of the next year, those changes should be reported to DCCED. So this kind of lines it up with the, you know, federal tax cycle and makes it a much more reliable and easy to plan for. That one of the questions that we got when we initially shared this was how do we set it up so that people can just do that reporting when those changes are made? And that, of course, is fine as well. It's just due by the following year, January 30th.
All right. And I just want to be really clear that we're saying that this is just when there is a change to the trust. This is not a requirement to report annually and file new documents on an annual basis if there hasn't been any changes to the trust.
Through the chair, that's exactly right.
All right. And with that, I'm going to remove my objection. Is there remaining objections to adopting amendment number two? All right. Seeing none, amendment number two is adopted.
I move amendment number three.
And I'll object for the purposes of explanation.
And I'll describe this one because it's very simple. It exempts charitable trusts, which is a suggestion we heard from stakeholders.
All right. Is there any questions on amendment number three? All right. Seeing none, I'm going to remove my objection. Is there any remaining objection to adopting amendment number three? All right. Seeing none, amendment number three is adopted.
That wraps up amendments on 405.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate the committee's work on this. I appreciate also those that called in to be available for questions and those that are watching from their offices. I see that we've got a few folks in the trust community and legal community, as well as the banking community, that have joined us today and are tracking closely what it is that we're doing here. And we look forward to your feedback and input on the legislation as amended today moving forward. All right. So next up, we're going to take up House Bill 406, Moratorium on Trust and Property Acquisition. Are there any questions about House Bill 406 before we move into amendments? All right. Seeing none, Co-Chair Fields.
Thanks. I move amendment number one.
And I'll object for the purposes of explanation.
So before turning to this specific amendment, I think House Bill 406, we substantially rewrote based on input from the trust industry group. And it was, I'd say, fairly sweeping changes from the original bill. And this amendment and the following change is really designed to make sure that people on a sanctions list aren't hiding wealth in a trust, but I think the tool that we had originally written in there around making a trust invalid was probably not the best tool or not the best structured tool. So I'm going to turn to this amendment attempts to fix that, and I'm going to turn to Evan Anderson for further explanation.
Through the chair, Evan Anderson, staff to Rep. Fields. Amendment number one, as Rep. Fields mentioned, is a pretty substantial rewrite of Section 1, and it focuses, instead of describing a trust that has an OFAC member on its, you know, in its structure as invalid, instead it prohibits certain activities by individuals. So that specifically, this amendment prohibits people on the OFAC list from accepting positions within a trust structure, and it also prohibits distributions from a trust to any individuals on the OFAC sanctions list. The intent here, as Rep. Fields mentioned, was to back away from nullifying, you know, the actions of a trust, and focus instead on individuals who are bad actors, and describe what the consequences for them might be. So this was written with a lot of collaboration from the trust industry, and we're hoping it's a better solution.
All right. Are there any questions, Amendment Number One? All right. Seeing none, I'm going to remove my objection to adopting Amendment Number One. Is there any remaining objections? All right. Amendment Number One is adopted.
I move Amendment Number Two.
And I'll object for the purposes of explanation.
And I'll turn to Evan Anderson for an explanation on this one.
Amendment, through the chair, Evan Anderson, staff to Rep. Fields. Amendment number two was a pretty good opportunity to work with the Recorder's Office and with national advocates such as Global Financial Integrity. They were super helpful in us finding this language. It turned out the geographical targeting orders that we saw some maps and some statistics from in GFI's testimony a few weeks ago. Alaska is one of the top three or top five real estate markets in the country that are unregulated by the U.S. Department of Treasury. So those regulations may be coming at some point in the future, but rather than wait on them, this rewrites the second section of House Bill 406 to follow that reporting structure. So any real estate transactions that could be categorized as high risk, such as those that are paid with all cash or those that are financed by a non-U.S. bank, that automatically triggers a reporting requirement that the real estate professionals involved with that sale are required to report beneficial ownership information to directly to the Recorder's Office. So we're hoping that this doesn't require the same level of staffing by the Recorder's Office as well, since we targeted pretty specific and pretty narrow here, so it shouldn't be too many. It should be a pretty low number of overall transactions in the state. But for those transactions, when they're happening, we want to make sure that we know, that Alaska regulators know who's involved in those sales.
All right, and we do have Chrissy Thurman, who's the state recorder from DNR, on the line in the event anybody has any questions, as well as all of the experts with the Division of Banking and Securities that we earlier discussed. Let's see. I will go to Chrissy Thurman. Ms. Thurman?
Good morning. This is Chrissy Thurman.
Yeah, thank you. This is Co-Chair Sponholz. I wanted to ask if you thought that this amendment would reduce essentially the oversight burden and the fiscal note associated with this legislation.
Representative Sponholz, this is Chrissy Thurman for the record. So as the bill stands right now, it is unclear on who the enforcement of the tracking of the beneficial information is. And that is not the authority that the Recorder's Office holds right now. So I'm concerned about that. But as far as the additional or the prior fiscal note, at this time, it's undetermined based on this current amendment how much of a change it would require. But I do see that it could be reduced substantially based on this amendment.
All right. Thank you. I think like everything in these two pieces of legislation that we're discussing today, this is complicated, and it's why we're sort of going slow and just adopting amendments today and not taking any final action. We want to make sure we understand what we're doing in detail, but I think it sounds like this would reduce some of the burden and fiscal note associated with compliance. And so I'm going to remove my objection to amendment number two. Is there any further objection to amendment number two? All right, seeing none, amendment number two is adopted. And thank you very much. Yeah, did you want to make a comment?
Madam Co-Chair, if I might, I want to turn to Evan Anderson to address some of the other issues that were brought up during the previous hearing, just about where Alaska is in terms of trust regulation as we relate to other states.
Yeah, through the chair, Evan Anderson, staff to Rep. Fields. Thanks for that question. One of the things that came up repeatedly in testimony that we heard in the past few weeks was that no state in the country asks for this kind of information. That didn't exactly check out with me, so I did a little bit of digging, and I didn't need to do much to realize that the reason that no other state in the country asks for beneficial ownership information for trusts or trust income is that 43 U.S. states tax income. And so, of course, that means distributions from trusts or any trust that is earning income also is subject to tax. The federal taxation requirements are pretty high for trusts. I think it's it's over $600 in income in a given year, just like for an individual. Or if a trust ends up in a state tax situation or an inheritance tax situation, it has to be actually over $12 million for an individual or $24 million for a married couple. So the state taxes on these trusts are pretty significant all across the country. And so when someone files their taxes for their trust or for their distributions from a trust, they are, of course, sharing more than all of the information that we've asked for in this legislation with state regulators. And so it would typically be a Department of Revenue or a Department of Taxation within a given state that is tracking this information. And so Alaska is one of the small minority of states that is not tracking any of this information.
Anything else?
Nope. If stakeholders have further input following adoption of the amendments, I want to hear it, because I think we do have a new paradigm with, you know, aggressive foreign actors who have been documented to hide their wealth in the United States and take advantage of trusts, and we need to address that. Thank you.
All right. And that wraps up our business today. Thank you, Mix Anderson. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow, Wednesday, May 11th at 3:15 in Barnes Room 124. Thanks so much to our secretary and LAO moderators for joining us today. This meeting of the House Labor and Commerce is adjourned at 9:24 a.m.